cards. I emphasize pain because this was the worst pain I've ever experienced. It was the platonic ideal of pain, the exemplar. I've heard people claim that the worst pain is childbirth. Well, this was the worst pain imaginable, but without the joy of a newborn in my arms at the end of it. And it may be day 7 of the pain, but it was also day 10 of no movement, if you catch my drift. I hadn't taken a shit in 10 days. There's the drift. Something was wrong, very wrong. This was not a dull, throbbing pain like a headache. It wasn't a piercing, stabbing pain like the pancreatitis I had had when I was 30. This was a different kind of pain, like my body was going to burst, like my insides were trying to force their way out. This was the no fucking around kind of pain. And the sounds, my God, the sounds. Ordinarily, I'm a pretty quiet, keep-to-myself kind of fella, but on this night, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Some nights, when the wind is right and the cars are all parked up for the night, you can hear the horrific sounds of coyotes ripping apart something that is howling in the Hollywood Hills. At first, it sounds like children laughing way, way off in the distance, until you realize it's not that. It's the foothills of death. But the worst part, of course, is when the howling stops, because you know whatever has been attacked is now dead. This is hell. And yes, there is a hell. Don't let anyone tell you different. I've been there. It exists. End of discussion. On this night, the animal was me. I was still screaming, fighting tooth and nail for survival. Silence meant the end. Little did I know how close I was to the end. At the time, I was living in a sober living house in Southern California. This was no surprise. I have lived half my life in one form or another of a treatment center or a sober living house, which is fine when you're 24 years old, less fine when you're 42 years old. Now I was 49, still struggling to get this monkey off my back. By this point, I knew more about drug addiction and alcoholism than any of the coaches and most of the doctors I encountered at these facilities. Unfortunately, self-knowledge avails you nothing. If the golden ticket to sobriety involved hard work and learned information, this beast would be nothing but a faint, unpleasant memory. To simply stay alive, I turned myself into a professional patient. Let's not sugarcoat it. At 49, I was still afraid to be alone. Left alone, my crazy brain, crazy only in this area, by the way, would find some excuse to do the unthinkable, drink and drugs. In the face of decades of my life having been ruined by this, I'm terrified of doing it again. I have no fear of talking in front of 20,000 people, but put me alone on my couch in front of the TV for the night, and I get scared. And that fear is of my own mind, fear of my own thoughts, fear that my mind will urge me to turn to drugs as it has so many times before. My mind is out to kill me, and I know it. I am constantly filled with a lurking loneliness, a yearning, clinging to the notion that something outside of me will fix me. But I had had all that the outside had to offer. Julia Roberts is my girlfriend. It doesn't matter, you have to drink. I just bought my dream house. It looks across the whole city. Can't enjoy that without a drug dealer. I'm making $1 million a week. I win, right? Would you like to have a drink? Why, yes, I would. Thank you very much. I'd had it all, but it was all a trick. Nothing was going to fix this. It would be years before I even grasped the notion of a solution. Please don't misunderstand me. All of those things, Julia and the dream house and $1 million a week, were wonderful, and I will be eternally grateful for all of them. I'm the luckiest man on the planet, and boy, did I have fun. They just weren't the answer. If I had to do it all over again, would I still audition for Friends? You bet your ass I would. Would I drink again? You bet.